Hello, Sam Ackerman in Tauranga.
Kia ora.
You've had that brutal weather. I hope everything's okay at yours.
Yeah, well, we're doing okay. Certainly, squeegeeing and mopping and towels, but nothing to complain about in the grand scheme of things. So hoping everybody else is staying safe and dry.
Now, how important this gesture of Campbell Johnstone's in just the last day or so, I think it was, on television last evening, that he made the decision he did, or rather revealed what he did?
Yes, we officially now have the first openly gay All Black from a man. And look, I remember Campbell Johnstone as a player, and I have to admit, I had to remind myself he was an All Black. He only played a handful of tests back in 2005. That said, you play 1 minute for an All Black in the All Black jersey, you're an All Black, and he earned that right and privilege. And his career was, some time ago. He's a much different man now, but to have the this must have been somewhat weighing on his mind. He's been open with his friends and family and those close to him in a private context, so this isn't a shock in, to his life system, but being prepared to come out publicly is a watershed moment, a moment that New Zealand rugby has been, I imagine, waiting for. And I'm sure it's there. I can tell you point blank, Campbell Johnstone is not the only gay All Black. He is the first openly gay All Black, and that is a massive decision for him to make. And it certainly is going to make him a poster child, and is going to bring a lot of extra attention to his life. And I hope a lot of it, I hope all of it, but I really hope that the overwhelming majority is a positive one that comes with that, because he has, I think he's acknowledged this, what he's done over the past 24 hours will change the lives of a lot of people and start to open up a conversation, because being the first was always going to be difficult. And, for a current player, I'm not suggesting anyone is holding anything back in their own lives right now, but for someone to want to be the first current All Black who is openly gay is a very big deal, and put yourself in the spotlight on a regular basis. So I applaud him for his honesty and integrity to be coming public like this, because it'd be very easy not to. But he'll change lives. And I can tell you through other sports where players have come out or spoken about that they've been, the feedback they get is that they openly and actively have saved lives. People have gone, knowing that this was you means the world to me and I can carry on, when they felt they're in a dark place.
Heath Davis yesterday in men's cricket, last year I think in men's cricket, and what the two have in common is they spoke about the toll that the secrecy took. And look, most players aren't expected to talk about their sex lives anyway, right?
Absolutely.
This is more than a sex life. This is identity. It is a sexual orientation. It is everything. And we do know within some sports that the fact we can get to this far in history and finally have the first All Black goes to show that there is an issue just with being comfortable and open about who you are. Both of those men talked about the toll of not being open about who they are, not necessarily out in front and centre, but just not being able to be who they are or feeling like they couldn't be.
Yeah, and look, it's always difficult to hear those, but important to hear. And I think it brings a spotlight onto a system that needs to be as open and inclusive as possible, obviously. And we must say that New Zealand Rugby, all organisations, have come light years from 2005 to where they are now, and as has society, and an understanding and acceptance and recognising the toll that can take. So these are different times, but the fact that this isn't something that is becoming more obvious, and there is always that conversation and the stigma, stereotype, what do you even call it, about rugby being blokey, masculine, and you've got to be a man's man. Well, I hope that this is taking that first step, and it is a small step. It is a big step, but small in the context. It's not going to change things overnight, but at least it now takes that burden off, because the first person to come out was always going to get a big spotlight. And
right,
as I say, respectfully to his career, it's not like he was the biggest name All Black of all time, but he's prepared to put that one on his shoulders.
Now, Djokovic, just methodical in the end in completing this tournament. I've actually enjoyed listening to him, and I don't want to, minimise the way he's, some of what he's said and done in recent years. But I have listened to him talking about his tennis and talking about where he's at in his sport, and I've heard intelligent, thoughtful conversation from the bits that I've seen. Of course, the big debate now is who is the greatest, and he goes up against Federer, who's beloved, and he goes up against Nadal, who's beloved, and will he always have to battle that side of things?
I don't think that there will ever be a time, no matter what happens from the numbers from here, and where Novak Djokovic will be universally accepted as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And that's because the GOAT, in the eyes of many, isn't actually the GOAT. It's more like the FOAT. It's the favourite of all time in many people's eyes. It's when you talk about that, there is a stigma clash. It's like, well, I grew up with Michael Jordan, so I can't possibly buy LeBron James being the greatest of all time, or I can't, because it was a different era, things were more difficult. There's definitely things to take into account. But statistically, for those who aren't following the numbers on the tennis situation, Novak Djokovic's win at the Australian Open was his 10th on that surface, and that's a record at the Australian Open by far. It's his 22nd of all, and that is equal with Nadal on 22. Roger Federer is back on 20. He's obviously not going to add to that. And if you had to put money on who's going to be able to add the most Grand Slams to their total now from here, it has to be on Djokovic. I can't imagine a year that Nadal's body will hold up to be able to get the career slam of being able to go the calendar slam of getting all four in one year. I can buy it with Djokovic. He played this entire tournament with a dodgy hamstring and dropped one set. He wiped the floor with some very talented players in the next gen coming through as well. So whether you like him or not, he has got everything in line to be up there. He'll always be in the conversation, obviously. But I don't know whether it's because Federer had this grace about him that nobody ever challenged.
I think that's what it is. As I said, Djokovic is just so methodical. He's like a machine. But with Federer, you think flair. And with Nadal, I just think that never say die, never give up kind of, you always seem to be battling back. I guess it depends how you weigh these things up and whether it is just the results card.
I think the detractors of Djokovic have actually created a monster that is now going to be so focused on the numbers. And he used to be very obsessed in the way he would speak, and he'd always look, go for they call it the cheap pop, where you kind of mention the hometown or talk about the hometown favourites, so the crowds will clap. And when he does his interviews, he used to be so focused on being liked and wanted to be thought of like Federer and wanted to be thought of like Nadal. I think now he's accepted he's not, and because of that, there's one thing he can do to cement his legacy, and that is to be numbers wise the absolute greatest. So he does have a really interesting personality, but unfortunately, that will never be accepted now. He became the bastion for something that a large percentage of the population would rage against in the past year. And there's a lot of baggage that's going to come with the being booted out of the country scenario for Australia. So, I think he will be the greatest of all time, numbers-wise, but I don't think he'll ever be universally accepted.
It's kind of an artificial measure people pull out all the time anyway, isn't it? But anyway,
we need something to talk about.
Now, the Breakers, a couple of minutes, please, on their season and what's been going on the last few months.
So, as we know, the pandemic made life very difficult for the teams like the Breakers, the Phoenix and the Warriors, because they had to be based over in Australia. They couldn't come and go, and it was not a good time for a team that has had some amazing historical success, as the Breakers have in the Australian National Basketball League, the NBL. Five seasons, I think it's been now, without the playoffs, and last year they managed 5 wins, an entire season, which is unimaginable given where they were previously. But they have got themselves up to win number 16 with a very big win on the weekend at Spark Arena. They thankfully could carry on with the game after all the issues that Tamaki Makaurau's faced. And they are guaranteed a place in the top 6, which is wonderful. And there's 2 games to go against the bottom 2 teams on the ladder. Theoretically, beat them both, they will go into the top 2, which means it's a guaranteed tier of going straight into the semi-final. So the difference between second and third is massive. And they've done it kind of under the radar a bit. It's a real success story, though, and people deserve to be patted on the back for this because, being at home makes a difference. But they had to make that work and rebuild a team's culture. Remember, they've gone through ownership change and just prior to the pandemic, and there was a lot of change going on with this team. But with a couple of stalwarts and the likes of Rob Lowe and Tom Abercrombie, that people know, a new coach in Modi Mayor, bringing a bit more of a ruthless focus to what they were doing. And they're playing good basketball as well, and Brantley and these players that are lighting it up when they're getting the chances. So the Breakers are a team that people can get behind, a real bandwagon team, and it's wonderful to see them lift themselves back up, back into contention. If they don't win the title, you know, that's a shame, but to be back in the playoffs and to prove themselves the way they have in the space of a season has just been wonderful to watch.
Thanks so much, Sam Ackerman in Tauranga.